conspiracies, endless wars, hidden forbidden history, the depopulation agenda, cryptozoology, mystical visions, hidden mysteries, advanced subterranean civilizations, flying saucers, alien abductions, and secret space programs, time travel, wellness, and healthy living. Where do you go to find out about these subjects and more? To James Bartley's Cosmic Switchboard Show. That's where. James Bartley will provide cutting-edge information and will interview the top investigators and researchers in a variety of fields. Listen in every week to the Cosmic Switchboard Show, hosted by James Bartley.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you are listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Robert Stanley of UnicusMagazine.com. Robert is the author of Close Encounters on Capitol Hill and Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C. Robert has traveled to nearly 60 countries during his lifelong pursuit of modern and ancient mysteries. Over the past 30 years, Robert's quest for unique ideas and information has led him to research and write about many controversial topics. His ongoing investigations have been featured on television, radio, print, and the Internet. He has made some thought-provoking findings regarding the Anunnaki god Enki and has conducted investigations in and around Malibu, California, which are very thought-provoking indeed. Robert has a lot of information to share with us today, so without any further ado, Robert, how are you?
Doing well, James. Thanks for having me on.
The pleasure is all ours. We've got so much information to cover today. Right off the bat, what are the things that are uppermost on your mind that where your research has been trending towards? What are you finding in the recent past that really needs to be brought out?
Well, thanks for asking. My most recent article on my website is called Technocide, and it's a brief article that leads you into a page of over 300 links to mainstream media articles showing the accelerating trend of artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, and the demise of humans as we know it or have known it in the very near future.
Yes, that is a key point, because we see this rapid transhumanist push by the powers that be. We see how everything is starting to reach what's been described as a technological singularity.
Correct. And it's not for our benefit. I call it the Luciferian agenda because, well, that's what I think it is.
Yes. And while we're on the subject, why do the listeners need to pay attention to the subject of AI, of artificial intelligence? Why is it such an important issue?
Well, because it's affecting everybody. I mean, right now they say artificial intelligence is weak, but it is rapidly becoming stronger, and that people are losing jobs. It just occurred to me the other day that one of the reasons that the unemployment is so high in America is probably because of artificial intelligence. For example, how many people that used to answer the phones as customer service have been replaced by AI?
Yes.
I don't know the number, but I suspect it's very high, because if you try and call any company these days, you're going to get an artificial intelligence to handle your phone call and supposedly either directly give you an answer or route you to somebody, a human being, that actually can.
Yes, we see that. It depersonalizes people. It makes it more like we're interfacing with technology when we have to keep pushing these buttons in order to get where we want to go when we dial into some customer service line.
Well, it's not even that anymore. It's all voice activated.
Yes.
And it's becoming smarter, because artificial intelligence is really not the right word. It's a bit of a misnomer. It's artificial life, and it's synthetic, but it's still life in the sense that it's mimicking organic natural systems. It's what it's based on. So in other words, a newly created artificial AI life has to learn. It has the ability to learn just like we do, although it does so at a much higher rate, and it processes information at a much higher rate. And this is going exponential. I mean, it's like as far as I can tell, this is all it's being implemented at a very accelerated pace now. And I suspect, again, this is all part of the Luciferian agenda.
I agree. Now, do you see any kind of a tie-in between what the Gnostics referred to as the demiurge, the corrupted demiurge, what some today describe as the hive mind parasite virus, mm-hmm. that seems to afflict everyone and anything to some degree? It's quite pervasive in our plane of existence, probably. How does that tie into the whole concept of artificial intelligence?
Yeah, good question. Well, I've actually dealt with both. So the non-physical, parasitic, demonic entities that manipulate us are psychopathic in the sense that when I say psychopath, it's the opposite of an empath.
Yes.
All right? So most healthy humans are empathic. Unhealthy humans are psychopathic. And these entities are psychopathic in the sense that they're intelligent, but they have no emotional IQ. They have no connection, no empathy at all towards other life forms. So they're dangerous in that regard. And the machine world is an extension of them. It didn't start here. In other words, AI was brought here a long time ago. Various artificial life forms were created by Lucifer and his minions. So they're closely related. I mean, they work together as far as I can tell. Like, the general consensus is that the Greys are actually little cyborg androids.
Yes.
And they're part biological, but they're also part mechanical, in the sense that they're all linked to some sort of AI central computer type processor. And so I do see a direct correlation there between what the Gnostics called the Archons. Of course, they wouldn't know how to describe a computer, right? I mean, they at that time. And in fact, Arthur C. Clarke had a really brilliant statement that he made was that advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, at least to our ancestors, and we're still baffled by how UFO technology does what it does. In other words, for gravity control. And so these things are becoming more understood by us, but the problem is that there's a consequence to all of this. And the implications are that the AI is not only going to replace a big part of what we consider normal life here, but it's also designed to control us.
Yes, and the possibility that by so controlling us, it detaches us further from Source, kind of plugs us into some kind of Borg collective.
Correct, and that's all coming from Lucifer. So that, I mean, he sees us as his subjects of his empire. And of course, most people are unaware of it, but a lot of the people that we could look to and say, oh, they're part of the elite, the shadow government, whatever you want to call that, the controllers, they are aware of who's really in charge and more or less what the agenda is. And so, like I said, we're all subjects of that empire, and they want us to be subservient. They want us to worship or work for them.
And you made the point of bringing up the name Lucifer.
Yeah.
I myself have delved into Wes Penra's voluminous website, wespenra.com, and he made the point that Lucifer is Enki, and
right.
that Enki and some of these other gods, if you will, in these pantheons, have gone by many different names
right.
Over the ages and presented themselves in certain ways to certain cultures. Would you like to elaborate on how Enki came to be Lucifer and how it all ties in with the expansion of this empire from Orion, from the Orion constellation?
Sure. I mean, that's kind of a long story, but for people who really want to read up on this, you can either go to WesPenRe.com, and his last name is spelled P-E-N-R-E. I think he's Swedish. Or you can go to my website at unicusmagazine.com, spelled U-N-I-C-U-S magazine.com. Click on library, and I have all of his papers there, and also a link to the new book that I helped him put together, which is all about artificial intelligence and the coming singularity and the transformation of humans, which it's underway, and we're all being faced with this, unfortunately, this decision whether or not we want to become cyborgs and allegedly live forever with this Luciferian technology or not. And I'm not sure what the option is. I don't know that we're going to really have that option under this totalitarian control of Lucifer. But to answer the rest of your question, he is known by many names. In Sitchin's work about his translations or interpretations of the Sumerian text of the gods, he is known as Enki. Different cultures call him different things in various times. So he's also known to the Nordic people as Loki. The Akkadians called him Ea. The Egyptians called him Ptah. One of his titles is Lucifer, which means the light bearer, because he is a very radiant being. He does have the ability to, this is what in Christian terms, when they say the glory of the Lord, they're talking about the light that emanates from him. His son is also very, very key to all this. In fact, that's what I was, I've been working on this article, Technocide. I know this is very highly controversial for people, but Lucifer is the god of all religions on this world, including Christianity. And he does have a son, a particular son. So Lucifer is the father in heaven. That's how he portrayed himself to me when I met him in 1985. And it was very confusing. It took me a long time. Actually almost 30 years before I finally figured out when he said he was the father, he didn't say, "I'm Lucifer." And this is the thing about the Anunnaki, is that they have the more titles that one has, the higher the ranking in that. Okay, so as I said, his title as the light bearer, he's also known as the water bearer, but he's also known as the father of the archons. The Greek term, it just means the lords, the rulers. He's also, in Christian terms, he's considered the father of all lies. A lot of people confuse him with Satan, and because the current mythology is that, when Lucifer came to Earth, that's when he had the name Satan. And that is not accurate. According to what Wes Penry's research shows, Lucifer is actually another name for Enki, or Lucifer's son. He has many names, but he's known as Marduk or Ra, as in R-A. For, in Egyptian terms, he's also called Amun-Ra. And yes. Yeah, that's something that some people really have a hard time with, that all the Christian prayers are ending in Amun or Amen. This is the way some people pronounce it, but it literally is Amun-Ra. And that would be Lucifer's son. The conflict, as I understand it, started in the Orion Empire when Enki was denied the kingship of that empire. So he decided to go off on his own and create an illegitimate or rival empire. So that literally caused a civil war, an intergalactic civil war. Most people feel that this was just because of his pride or ego, but that doesn't explain why he was passed over. It was his legitimate birthright to become the king of the empire. But some information that I have, and anybody can read it if you're interested, on my website in the article section, it's called The Birth of the Archons. there was a book written by a friend of my father's. His name's Norman Paulson. He's passed away now, but originally it was called Sunburst: Return of the Ancients. It's now called Christ Consciousness. But in that book, Norman talks about how in the 1950s he was contacted by benevolent human extraterrestrials, so he says. And they, one of the things they told him was that how Lucifer had gone mad. Actually, Lucifer and his crew as a spacefaring group had gone into, I mean, they formerly were builders of worlds. And they, at some point, they ventured into an area, a zone that was forbidden because it was dangerous. And for some reason, they felt that they would be okay. And they wanted to, they were curious, and they went in there. And they went completely insane because they were so badly traumatized that their spirit was fragmented. We would call that multiple personality disorder. In other words, that they literally have multiples and or alters, and sometimes it's called echoes. And they did manage to find their way out of there, but by the time they got out, they were completely mad, and they still are. And that's the problem. That is the real problem. And as far as I can tell, that's the real reason why he was passed over for kingship of the Orion Empire.
Because he basically lost his mind and would have been probably a poor representative of this empire.
To say the least, it would have been irresponsible if his parents had allowed him to ascend to the throne because he was just, and he still isn't right. If you look at this world, which is part of his empire, as I said, you know, the way he conducts things, it's all based on predatory, parasitic, psychopathic behavior, and the people that follow him and work for him are essentially the same way. One of the other key aspects of all this, as we were saying before about parasites, is that, and it talks about this in the book by Norman Paulson, that when he and his crew were in this forbidden zone, they not only suffer from multiple personalities, but they inadvertently, unintentionally created what we would call demons. They're little thought forms. Yeah, they're thought forms. They're non-physical, but they are they're parasitic in the sense that they're. I mean, again, the Christians would just call them demons. The Muslims called them jinn. But they were brought here. When Lucifer, Enki, whatever you want to call him, when he and his crew accidentally created these mental parasites, they were infected. They infected themselves with this thing, these parasites that feed off of negative energy. It's emitted through our DNA when we hurt ourselves or others. And so he brought those things here, and it infected pretty much all life on this world, because anything that's biological has DNA is essentially a power source or food for these parasites, as long as we are hurting ourselves or others. So that's again why everything is sort of trauma based. Even all religions, if you notice, there's an element of blood sacrifice or trauma in all of that. I mean, pretty much they're all feeding into that, literally feeding into that system.
And they have harsh patriarchy as another commonality. The original divine mother forms of worship were basically eradicated and supplanted by this harsh patriarchy.
Yeah, that was deliberate. The eradicating of all indigenous tribal culture over time was a way of putting another level of worker in place, and so there's been multiple genocides here by Lucifer in order to continue his agenda. So this is nothing new. What's happening here? I mean, look, what Atlantis was very similar to what we have right now, in the sense that a lot of genetic manipulation and high technology, and ultimately the goal was to further support the expansion of Lucifer's empire in direct competition with his family's empire. And I'm pretty sure that's why they told him to stop. And, you know, this is where the great flood comes in, like whatever, 12,000 years ago. I don't know if it was a natural event or if somebody initiated it, but they told Lucifer, just stand down. Do not try and save this. You know, what you're doing is completely illegal. It's immoral, and it's totally illegitimate. So, you know, of course he agreed, but obviously he only to a point. He agreed just enough so that they wouldn't directly attack him. He preserved a portion of it and restarted his version of what, you know, he considered to be life. He put it all back here the way he wanted to serve him. So, in essence, he really does believe he's the father of mankind here. It's not exactly true, but it's true enough. He can make that statement that modern mankind is his doing. And that's why you have a lot of people, especially in the New Age community, who think Enki, Lucifer, is the good guy.
Yes.
And it's not the case at all.
Yes, and I think that Sitchin, of course, had a lot to do with that.
He did.
Especially the book, The Lost Book of Enki, which basically is an apologia where he's coming up with all these excuses why he didn't basically unleash this massive war upon the whole planet.
Well, that book, unfortunately, people need to be careful with what they read. If at the beginning he says this is just conjecture on his part, it's not even his interpretation of any lost book at all. It's just him taking like a mental holiday and interpreting in his mind what he thinks Enki would have said. Okay, so and that's really dangerous because I'll give you another example. Billy Meyer basically did the same thing. He claimed he was having mental conversations with Ptah, and that's where a lot of the contact notes come from. But most people would never have equated that with Enki or Lucifer, and they still don't. You know, and that's a problem. It's a real problem. But you see how Sitchin became this such an authority figure in quite a few people's minds. And then the same was true for quite a while with Billy. Billy Meyer is considered, you know, or he likes to consider himself as like a prophet and the only real contactee. And, you know, he's somehow chosen, special, right? And his information is correct. But this is a game they've been playing with us for a long time. They don't really want us to have access to too much information, and any information that we do have is usually badly distorted, and that's done intentionally to keep us confused and divided, actually.
What seems to be Enki's / Lucifer's end game? What does he seem to want as a final outcome?
Good question, and that's probably the most important thing that people need to understand, if they can wrap their minds around this at all, is that the end game for Lucifer and Ki is to take over the Orion Empire, which he feels, as I said before, is his birthright. He wants to be the number one king and the only ruler of that empire. So he is grooming us, and I'm sure we're not the only ones, but specifically on this world, since this is where we are, this whole thing with the AI and nanotechnology, et cetera, is all designed to upgrade us to a point where we can actually be exactly what he needs us to be, which is soldiers designed to help him break into the court of Orion.
Yes, he's going to need foot soldiers. That's what people need to understand about the whole concept of what Richard Dolan describes as the breakaway civilization and what others call the secret space program.
Correct.
Because it would be highly difficult for any standalone secret space program to develop organically without coming under the malign influence of this hive mind parasite Luciferian virus. It would be almost impossible for them to screen that influence out.
They didn't, and that's a good point. It's a really good point that most people have no idea because they don't have the proper context for these events. So the secret space program was, again, another ploy and they have taken people off to Mars and the Moon, etc. They've also upgraded them, given them access to technology. But those were just the pioneers, the first selected chosen ones, and it was just the first step, and it was all done secretly. The next step is going to be more overt, and I write about that in my book, the article Digital Deception, page 4. I show that many different examples that the European Space Union is going to build a village on the moon using 3D printers, and that's coming very soon. The next decade, 10 years from now, we're going to have, if everything goes according to plan, humans will be allowed to start living on the moon, and beyond that, to Mars. And so that's the public version of the – in other words, the secret space program precludes everything. But the not-so-secret space program is coming, but it's all coming from the same source. It's not our human ingenuity or the pioneer spirit. This is all contrived by and controlled by the Luciferians to serve their agenda, not ours.
Yeah, and another key point also is the pervasive references to Orion.
Yeah.
Richard Hoagland goes into great detail,
yeah,
about how so many of the iconic symbols from NASA pertain to Orion.
They do, and in fact, the NASA's mission, 2030 mission to Mars, the manned mission to Mars, will be in an Orion spacecraft. So it's pretty blatant, but like I said, you know, this is very confusing. A lot of the rumors in the New Age community, mostly based on channeled information, is that that Orion Empire is evil, and you know, Zachary Sitchin basically says this too, that Enki is the victim, and that his family are the one to blame. And in fact, it's the opposite, and I do think that's the case, that he's been lying to us, and that he's actually the perpetrator.
We see that over and over, because in the Sitchin scheme of things, Enki saved us. Enki,
right.
Enki was our father. He taught us agriculture. He taught us to domesticate animals. He basically created what amounts to modern civilization, when in reality, he is this all-pervasive Luciferian oppressor.
Yeah, and he's all, you're right. He wants the father, savior. Yeah, he wants us to worship or work for him, to be part of his empire. So this is one of the reasons we're not getting access to who or what is going on with the alien agenda in general. It's all, you know, people push for, they keep saying, well, you know, we need disclosure. Well, it isn't going to happen that way. It's all subterfuge. They're not about to start telling us the truth. It would just be too disruptive to the system.
Yes, and they'll never get to the bottom line of the truth. They may admit there has been some contact at some level, but they'll never get down to the nitty-gritty of just how dark the whole thing has become. So that's one thing people have to beware of this disclosure movement, is by buying into disclosure, they are basically giving de facto tacit agreement to all the crimes and all the wrongs that have been done by these governments. And then, as if, okay, if they're going to throw us this disclosure, throw us a bone, essentially, all of the rest of it, all their other crimes are forgiven merely because they brought us into the disclosure
game. Right.
Amnesty. I'm not buying it. Yeah,
yeah, the amnesty thing. Yeah. And moreover, whatever they tell us officially, I doubt is going to be accurate or truthful. Okay. So, for example, when the storyline that we're being told right now about the secret space program is that the Nazis were being given technology and working with reptilians, and that the Americans were working with the human Nordics.
Yes.
Okay, because allegedly the humans and Nordics and the reptilians are at whatever, battling each other. I don't believe that for one minute. I believe that those are two sides of the same coin. My understanding is that Enki's empire is very much based in the Pleiades, but it reaches also into the Cirrus star constellation, and it covers many different groups of extraterrestrial life under his empire. Naturally, it would. You know, the larger the empire, the more variety you're going to have, right?
Yes, he would have what amounts to a sphere of influence, a sphere of influence that encompasses a variety of different galactic races.
Yep. So this is the reason disclosure could have ended yesterday if the extraterrestrials that are here wanted to disclose it, they could have. There's nothing to preclude them from doing that. Our government couldn't stop them if they wanted to hold a press conference, right, or download information to our internet. They could do that, but they don't. And the reason they don't is because they have a covert agenda, and it's being played out on multiple levels. It's also why they're blocking the benevolent ones from having direct communication with us, because that would really upset things. And my understanding is that Enki or Lucifer is essentially holding us hostage, that if the benevolent ones were to intervene and liberate us, that he has threatened to literally annihilate this planet. So, and all life on it, okay? Because he is, again, in his psychopathic mind, he figures we're his property. And that would equate to theft. If you're going to try and steal all my stuff, well, then I'll just destroy it.
Literally a scorched earth program.
Yeah. And I believe that, you know, some people say that the system of Lyra was destroyed in some sort of conflict. And it became sort of initially just happened organically. They were violent and that they destroyed themselves. But again, I think there has to be a nexus for all of this. You know, I mean, it's counterintuitive to think that that there's a creative force that created the universe and that it also created its own demise. To me, that is psychotic, you know, that the same creator would be its own destructor, you know what I mean? It's like, it's suicidal.
Do you think at this point, all that in mind, that there is any hope, if you will, for Lucifer / Enki, or is he so beyond redemption, if you will, by this point, that the best we can do is raise our consciousness, raise our vibrations, if you will, to the point where we're beyond his reach, him and his minions?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good, but I mean, we have to live in this world on a daily basis. Okay, so one of the articles that I wrote, I actually wrote three articles about Archons, and specifically the parasitic relationship they have to us. The third and final one is the antidote for Archons. That's also at my website at unicusmagazine.com. And you click on articles, you'll scroll down. The antidote for Archons talks about how, and shows graphically how, somebody who's really possessed or infected by these parasites or the entities that we're describing here, these interdimensional extraterrestrial entities, are highly parasitic. It's like the graphic of that person would be a dark cloud over their head, whereas somebody who's not infected, who's healthy, a human, real healthy human, would have maybe a light bulb over their head. So those are just some really basic graphics that I show people, but I also describe energetically what's going on to us when we are under stress. And we are hurting ourselves or hurting other people or being hurt by other people, our DNA constricts. So the information is not flowing well. The energy information is not flowing through us. In other words, it's like on the internet, you know, you go from high broadband, high speed, whatever, down to dial-up.
Oh, yes.
And that's intentional. That's also intentional. So not only are they feeding off us, but they're also keeping us cut off from the rest of creation and one another by constantly stressing us out. So the three things that I suggest are, and I know this sounds simplistic, but it's not easy, remaining calm, even in the midst of chaos. And I think everybody has to figure that out for themselves. I mean, there's a lot of different techniques that you can use to stay centered or calm, right? In other words, the balance point. You have to find some balance in your life, and a balance is always found between two extremes. So, you know, just being aware of your emotional state and your thoughts is a really big thing. You know, controlling your emotions and thoughts is the first big step towards not letting them control you. And we can do this on an individual level. It doesn't cost anything. You don't have to get permission. You don't have to worship a god. You know, it's just that's you. That's anybody can do that at any time, anywhere. The second thing is to be kind, not only to yourself, but be kind to others. Whenever the opportunity comes up, especially with people you've never met, the smallest gesture, even just smiling at a person, makes them feel better. And it makes you feel better. And in that regard, it's contagious. That level of energy, that positive energy, is contagious. It is an antidote. It's like pouring water on a fire as opposed to gasoline. The third thing that I encourage people to do is be creative. In whatever capacity that you can, do something creative, even if it's just doodling. It causes some part of us, I think it's the divine. I mean, think of it this way. Look. If we are all came from a creator, right, through a creative act, shouldn't we be emulating that? Because every time we do something that is creative, we're stimulating that divine, godly part of our self.
I know. Yes.
It's in other words, it's not just for entertainment purposes. Okay. There's a therapeutic side to all that. It really is a very overlooked part of. Especially the imagination part. Like when you conceive of, let's just say, a painting or a sculpture, it literally is conceived in your imagination. That is where all creation comes from. It's a thought that becomes manifest. And thoughts are real in the sense that they are wave forms. And we know that energy becomes matter as it slows down, and the frequency changes, the waveform changes, energy becomes matter. The thing is, what most people don't know still in this world, we're not allowed to know this, is that where does the energy come from? We say they tell us, well, it can neither be created nor destroyed, but they don't tell you. Well, it's somewhat something. It was created somewhere, right? Oh, it was created in a Big Bang, theoretically. Well, not really, not really, not at all. It's not even close. It comes from the newest model, I should say, is digital physics, and it says that consciousness is primary. That consciousness, energy, and matter are all the same wave form. Wave type that is in different frequencies. So just like a drop of water can be a solid, a liquid, or gas depending on its vibratory rate, so too for consciousness, energy, or matter being all the same thing. They're all wave forms. Okay, so what is the soul? It's a coherent plasma energy, and it vibrates. It sends out signals that are intelligent. And in that regard, I mean, we're all basically gods or creators. And unfortunately, you know, we were put into this garden to grow and become more adept at being creative, being creators, gods. But that was interrupted. Our growth has been stunted by this illness. And it is. It's an illness of consciousness. It's like a cancer of the consciousness. Our consciousness is real. We can't do anything without it, honestly. And in fact, if you're familiar with the work of Dr. Bruce Lipton, he shows conclusively that even though we're physical beings, everything about us, all the functions in our body, come from a non-physical source. In other words, there's the signals, pure energy or information is being absorbed into our body and instructing the body how to function or not all the time. There's so much for us to understand about who we really are, because we've been lied to for so long about who we supposedly are. it's difficult to for most of us to comprehend it, especially, you know, under this current circumstances. Most people right now are just focused on survival, you know, and more importantly, they're looking for someone or something to save them. That we have been conditioned to believe that we can't, there is no hope, we can't do anything by ourselves or for ourselves. We have to look to government or God or a God to do these things for us. And that's not the case at all. I mean, yeah, it's important to ask for help when you need it, and it's important to help others when they need it. But we have such a much larger potential that is our divine birthright. It's part of who we are inherently. That is, it's being suppressed intentionally. You know, again, this is an illness. This is an illness that everybody is being affected by to various degrees. Some people are more infected than others, and that's what we are calling a psychopath.
Yes, and what we see is the very institutions that are supposed to be helping us, supposed to be nurturing us, mm-hmm. have been turned inward. I mean, just the other day, I was being lambasted by this dentist for not wanting a fluoride treatment, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
Just trying to take me to school and talk to me as if I'm a child because I don't want the benefits of fluoride.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is a psychopathic society that has been normalized, and any kind of deviation from that is termed by the system as being aberrant, as being even terroristic. And the points you made about those three very simple steps, the reason they work so well is because what this system, this Luciferian system, is providing us is the polar opposite of that. Frequencies of rage, of fear of want, of artificial scarcity, of eking out a subsistence living on a day-to-day basis. We are crushed by all these different emotional and physical stresses. And so when we can go within, embody ourselves, stay centered, and be calm in the midst of all this turmoil, that's where it starts, with the first circle.
Well, yeah, it starts individually, and then you can move off to being, you know, collectively working this out. I mean, it's not either or. This is the other thing, you know, that we've been conditioned to think in terms of black and white, and there's a lot of different shades of gray involved in all of this, and or maybe even a rainbow, you know, and that we should be thinking about that, you know. There's just so many different degrees of consciousness involved. But again, we've been cut off here. This is one of the fascinating things that Wes Penry provides in his papers, is the realization that not only did Enki Lucifer create an illegitimate empire, but he created what we typically think of as the Matrix, which is a false universe that is completely controlled by some sort of computer AI system, and that the frequency that it's generating is much lower than the rest of the surrounding original creation of this universe, and which causes us to be somewhat invisible. It causes us to be far more solid. If you think back to what I just had told you about consciousness, energy, and matter, if you bring the frequency or wavelength down even lower, it becomes far more dense, far more difficult to exist in. And in his mind, it is far more easier to control us when we come into his realm, when we come into his matrix. It's all about control and manipulation. And that's one of the things that he's doing. David Icke has shown some pretty interesting information about Saturn being one of the places that Lucifer Enki is broadcasting a very low, long wave frequency from Saturn. And that's why we see the rings, the dust particles, are very similar to when you take a bar magnet and you place a paper over it and then sprinkle iron filings on top, and you see suddenly now you see the energy patterns of the magnet that you normally wouldn't see. It's the same thing for Saturn. Those dust particles are showing us the energy waves that are being broadcast from that world. And it's affecting our entire solar system. That's just one component. It literally goes off beyond that. I mean, his empire is not just our solar system. But the other thing that Wes talks about, which I actually showed him that there's scientific proof of, is this. He calls it the grid, the soul trap.
Yes.
Okay. The scientists recently discovered that, not knowing what it is, and I think it was a totally accidental that they actually found it, but they said it looked like something from Star Trek. There was an energy grid around the planet, and this is not the Van Allen belts. This is something else that's literally encapsulating the just beyond our planet that encapsulates us. And so Wes and I have had a very interesting it's very brief. I only, you know, started reading his stuff in late 2014, and it was instrumental in helping me figure a lot of things out. In other words, he provided me quite a few missing pieces of the puzzle that I was constructing. So naturally, in kind, I started sharing some of my pieces with him to help fill out his puzzle. So in other words, together we've helped each other become a little more aware of the bigger picture. And that's just one of the reasons that this new book is out about artificial intelligence and singularity. You know, Wes wrote 5 papers, just phenomenal papers, and on what we're discussing. And he thought he was done. And I'm sure he could have been, honestly. I mean, my God, the guy has a life. He's got a family. He's got a job. But he's writing all this information, just putting it out there for free for anybody on the internet. And the thing is, I started showing him, I was sending him on a regular basis articles in the news, regular mainstream news, that were proving that what he predicted was coming about the machine world. I was just saying, look, man, what you've predicted is happening, and it's happening like really fast, which was shocking to him and myself, and that's why he ended up writing this new book. As a warning, it's a really dire warning to people that time is running out. We really don't have much time left, and I don't even know if we're going to be given the option of not joining. But I mean, in the sense that it's not like we're going to, the way they have decimated all the indigenous tribal people, it was pretty simple for them to do that. And obviously they considered it to be necessary. So I don't know if they're going to even permit us to not go into the smart cities, to not become part of the singularity, cyborg, android, whatever. You know, download me. Or, I mean, that's jumping to the very end of the story. But a lot of people are going to get sucked into this by their saying the opportunity to be free of cancer, or let's say heart disease gone, you know, reverse aging. I mean, my God, the things that they're doing is, there's the people with lots of money in Silicon Valley, they would pay anything to have their life extended so that they can continue to enjoy their fortune, right, in life. And I just was reading this the other day. They do blood transfusions from children, from healthy children. So, and it's not illegal, right? There's no permit involved. You just go get a transfusion. And this is, if that isn't Luciferian, I don't know. I mean, come on.
Yes. It's bad enough they put aborted fetal tissue cells into Pepsi, into vaccines and everything else, right, and kind of making us cannibals in the process.
Yep.
But then now they're pumping children's blood into older people. That's very, there's a ceremonial blood power behind that whole concept.
Yeah, I mean, it's a physical and a spiritual or a energetic thing. I mean, this is when the ritual sacrifice is of blood is to, this is the maximum amount of negative or dark energy is released by a human or any biological life form when they are slaughtered, sacrificed. At that point, you know, and the Catholic Church did that for a long time. They didn't realize that they were sacrificing. They said, in the name of God, I'm killing you because you're a...
you're a heretic.
But you know, then we have... But also the people of Central America. That was... They were pulling, you know, capturing their so-called enemy and tearing their hearts out and holding them up to the sun and, you know, trying to appease these the gods, which would have been Lucifer and his crew.
Yeah, so the Romans and the Greeks sacrificing cows and bulls and goats, and they are definitely sacrificing them to Enki, to Lucifer, to whatever god that they're accustomed to sacrificing to. It's just Enki by another name.
Right.
What's interesting about the whole concept of Enki, too, is a lot of these ETs come and go, and to be sure, some of them will come under the sphere of influence of Lucifer and his minions, but... There may be some that just come and go, do their thing, but they don't feel this compulsion to make us bow down to them in so many ways.
No, but it's difficult for the benevolent ones, those who are not infected, to come here. That's a huge risk that they're taking, to come behind enemy lines, as it were. And, you know, it's weird. It's like we're conditioned to think like Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever, that, you know, even the good guys got to come in with the phasers blasting or whatever, photon torpedoes, all that crap. That's not how it works. Good guys don't do that. You know, they have a much different method of operation, and it's difficult for us to comprehend because we're so conditioned to be violent. You know, everything has to be resolved with violence.
Yeah, they've bequeathed their onerous characteristics to humanity at large. If you just look at Hollywood, for example, not only do they promote this transhumanism AI agenda, there's a recent movie came out, Tomorrowland, where the heroes in this piece are these little children who are actually robots that do all these superhuman feats. And they're set up in the movie as the ideal of what we can aspire to one day, to be these, you know, androids, basically.
Yeah.
And then the Hollywood habit of just promoting a constant stream of violence in the form of patriotic wars and in the form of this endless war on terror, very much like Orwell's endless war between Eurasia and Oceania. It just, there's no end in sight.
Right.
It's just out there going on and on, and we're just sucked into it. I can't even watch a baseball game without all the trappings of the military, of militarism, of patriotism being flung in our faces.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's there for everyone to see, this hive mind parasite virus. In the few minutes we've got left in the first hour, Robert, is there anything you wanted to finish up on as far as this subject before we delve into some of the other issues in the second hour?
I just don't want people to feel discouraged or to give up hope. You know, and just realize that it's not pleasant for me to discuss these things, but it's important that we understand them in context, to look at the bigger picture. Otherwise, we'll never really fully comprehend what's going on, and we certainly will never be able to move beyond that as individuals and a collective.
Yes, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and we are not like doomsters, and we are not those who always promote negativity and defeatism. And quite the contrary, the reason why we do what we're doing is we believe there is hope, and with knowledge comes power. And it's amazing just the efforts one person can make when they decide to step over that line. I mean, at some point, Robert, you decided, I need to do this. And then I was listening to one of your interviews, and you talked about how, after a point in time, you wanted to get out of the field, kind of do your own thing, but it kind of reeled you back in, so to speak. And that's, I found that to be the case with a lot of people like us, where this is our calling in many ways, that we are the boots in the ground. We are here to do this job, if you will.
Mm. Yes, it is. It is. Yeah, it's a lot of work. It is. And it's okay, you know. I mean, honestly, I didn't come here to make money. I came here to make a difference. And I know that's happening. Some days it's more evident than others. But, yeah, it's like you never know how many people you're going to reach doing a show like this or writing an article or, even just talking to people on the street. You never know. But it's if you don't try, then for sure nothing is going to happen.
Yes, we just got to keep planting seeds. And some are going to take root, some aren't. But, you know, we just got to keep planting seeds and go from there.
Yeah.
We've reached the end of the first hour. This is the Cosmic Switchboard Show. You've been listening to Robert Stanley talking about Enki, the Luciferian Agenda, artificial intelligence, and a number of other issues. We still have much more information in the second hour. You've been listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show, and our show is listener-driven. It's subscriber-driven. So if you believe in what we're doing, you like what we're doing, please go to our website, thecosmicswitchboard.com, and subscribe, and you'll be able to plug into the second hour of not only this show, but of all the other shows and any other special features we may have. So we've reached the end of the first hour, and we'll see you on the flip side.